August 5th, 6 p.m. Alderman Coe, Alderman Plotzer, Alderman Hyatt, and Alderman Merritt is online. And we have staff. Residents calling in as we speak. So, I guess if there's citizens' comments, if it's regarding a certain agenda item, let's just take them that point. That's not good. Minutes for correction slash approval, July 1st, 2025. Matt?
Good.
Okay, take them as approved. New business, item one, EDC 2025-54, building permit reports for June 2025.
All right, in June, we issued 146 permits. 13 of those were single-family homes and 18 were for commercial. A lot of miscellaneous. There's a lot of permits sitting in the queue ready to go out. I think they're waiting for the fourth quarter to start those ones. So, yeah, we should see an uptick toward the end of the year.
Matt?
Good.
Okay. Item two, EDC 2025-55, building inspection reports for June 2025.
That month we did 676 inspections. We're trying to keep most everything in-house as much as we can. We're outsourcing some plumbing stuff, everything that I can't get to. But besides that, we're keeping everything in-house as much as possible.
Matt?
Good.
Okay. Item three, EDC 2025-56, property maintenance report for June 2025.
All right, so the only one we actually had a case on that month was for the blue stem, 555 blue stem. That was the one that's been a chronic issue with the weeds and grass. The hearing officer in that case fined them $4,200 for that, for not cutting the grass for 35 days. So we actually just adjudicated them again last night, and they got fined $75 per day times 35. So, and we are, it's be posted again tomorrow morning. If it's not in compliance, we'll do it all over again.
Did they ever pay us?
No, I want to say the last time I checked it was over $20,000. But we did finally speak to the gentleman. I spoke to him a while back, and he told me that he basically yelled at me and told me that he wanted a settlement arrangement, and I told him that that was not an opportunity. He didn't speak with the city administrator or the mayor or the city council, and he told me other things, and he hung up on me. So
didn't say that he was going to cut the grass, though?
No, he said he would start as soon as we offered him a settlement agreement, and I told him that it wasn't in my purview, so.
How do we go forward with that?
Well, eventually we can take it to court and either enforce the fines or go on property and cut it ourselves. So it's the same method that we've dealt with other property owners over the past few decades. So.
Is there a point where, a threshold where we, are we still under that where it's feasible, or is it?
What do you mean?
How much did you say, $4,200 so far?
Oh, God, no. It's well over $20,000.
$20,000, yeah. Oh.
This property's been an issue for over the last 5 years. I would say for, with the exception of the city cutting it, and we're cutting it pretty much once every 35 days, so generally what happens is we'll issue the citation tomorrow, we'll give them time to do it. If they don't do it midway through the process, we'll have Public Works go out, they'll mow it, they'll lien them for that, and then once the hearing date comes up, we go up and check, no one's cut it, the hearing officer's informed of what's going on, they decide and they're fine, and then we start the process all over again.
So it is being cut by us?
By us, yes. So in the 20-something thousand, I want to say it's 22 to 25,000 now, that's purely the fines. That's not the fees that they're owed to the Public Works Department for cutting the grass.
Which are a few hundred bucks, probably.
Yes, and you know, we probably cut it six, seven times in the season. Every year.
How much do we charge you usually for that?
I want to say, don't quote me on
it. It's about $150. Yeah, I don't know, but we're in the process of revising that upwards. Yeah. So that figure has not been touched for a couple decades now.
That was one that's right down the road. We try to stay on top of all those chronic violators. We have several like that in the area.
Well, I would imagine we have another one blooming too. ground effects. This is now, I see there's citation signs up.
Yep.
We mowed it last time, right?
We mowed it once, and then the owner actually did call a landscape company to come out and mowed it again after we had mowed it. But this time he's been non-responsive again. He hasn't cooperated with us whatsoever. We can't get a hold of him.
It was bad.
Yeah, and we...
It's at a perfect corner.
It'll be referred to Public Works. I believe it's by the... I want to say it's Thursday is the date when we refer to Public Works to mow it, so they should mow it on Monday. You know.
So he still has outstanding fines from the last time then, yes. A month ago or two?
Fines and fees, yeah.
Okay. I know this is just in its infant stage probably, but...
Mm-hmm.
That was the one I wanted to mention. Anything else?
Good.
Matt, you got anything?
No.
All right, I guess that's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. EDC, item number four, EDC 2025-57, Economic Development Report for July 2025.
Just a couple of items to highlight. We rock the spectrum. Kids Gym will be opening their grand opening on August 9th. Salsa Verde will be hosting their grand opening at their new location on August 13th. And if you haven't noticed, you probably have, the Reds training facility has broken ground outside over there. But outside of that, if you have any questions about anything on the report, please let me know.
One thing, Lynn, are some of the businesses having a hard time with individuals harassing customers and stuff?
I can speak to that probably a little bit better. Several of the downtown businesses and around Town Square Park have trespassed certain individuals from the business after several incidents. So that's about as far as it's gone so far. The only other thing that we've talked about internally and haven't talked about publicly is the Supreme Court has granted us the authority basically to approve like anti-camping ordinances, which would allow us to prohibit camping on public property, and then obviously in rights of way and on streets. As far as I know, there are a couple that are off kind of in private property without much of an issue, and that there's an individual, in the downtown area on public property that we'd be able to, you know, displace them if we wanted to. It's just it hasn't risen to that level yet. And I don't know if the political will there is,
I just want to go on the record that my thing isn't coming from businesses, it's coming from people that have.
Wow.
That's the first time that happened.
Yes. Reset the remote meeting and then make it with a different password and then send it to Matt.
The only problem is the public won't be able to log in.
That's fine. Okay. We're not required to do a remote
meeting. We are not,
meeting,
correct.
So we know Amy is involved.
Yeah.
I think I saw Matt Gilbert there. I can send it back to us.
Matt Gilbert, Amy.
So sorry about that, everybody.
First,
yeah, it happens with towns, especially when the Zoom.
I think we've never had that.
Never.
No, so.
Oh yeah, it's really easy.
Yep. Yeah,
so should we wait for Matt?
No, we're allowed to proceed basically as is. Erin's going to do her best to reconstitute the meeting, and then we'll invite people as the discussion continues. So
right before that, though, yeah, I just wanted to mention that the people who reached out to me have been patrons.
All the businesses.
Yeah, so just make sure we do whatever we can do to get it. They won't be yelled at in the bridge and all kinds of stuff. So.
Sure.
Yeah, I've gotten some complaints.
I guess my recommendation would be is when people are uncomfortable or something happens, make sure you inform the business when it occurs. You know, the businesses have usually been pretty good with calling the police if there's issues that they can't handle. And if the resident feels like the business is unresponsive or it's not, attending a business, then they basically call the police themselves. And the police are, infrequent contact, both positive, neutrally, and negative on enforcement issues with different people down there. And so they've got a pretty good grasp as to, what the issues are. So.
Yeah, so I guess what I was complaining about, technically if they're on property that's not the businesses, they can't probably do much to that person.
Right.
And, it's kind of complicated, so,
yep.
But I just wanted to bring it to the point. Understood. Okay, so nice. Anybody else? All right, item 5, EDC 2025-58, Downtown Brownfield Remediation and its Terracon SRP proposal.
Okay, so we've got a memo in the packet that talks through the next stage in brownfield remediation efforts that we need to do in order to get a no further remediation letter for our East Alley parking lot and then our FS property which we purchased. And that is in the proposal that's in the packet here today.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Matt's back online with the new link I just sent you.
Okay.
So if
and
you want to log in.
Password has not been published anywhere.
Password has not been published anywhere.
And then did you email it to me?
I emailed it to you as well.
Let's pull that back in here.
Okay. Hold on just a minute, Matt.
Yep.
Amy is also joining
okay.
as well.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hold on just a minute, Amy. We're going to get reconnected here. Sorry about that.
Okay. Back in the ears again?
Yep.
Great.
Yes, hi.
All right. Sorry, everybody online, for the interruption there. We're on the brownfield discussion, Matt. We just started it. So.
Okay.
So it's just shy of $100,000, and that's split into about $85,000 for the engineer fees, and then another $10,000 or so for IEPA time and permit fees are required. What this will do is give us authority and the plan to go through and drill some monitoring wells for soil, gas, and water sampling. And then to figure out where the pollution is and what levels it's at currently, so that then we can create a remediation plan that the IEPA will approve at a later date. So the no further remediation letter would basically prove to everybody in the public that the property is clean and safe at that point, and would allow us, if we ever decided to sell it or change it, to have that in our back pocket accordingly. So. I have, memo alludes to a conversation with Sean Labrasseur, who owns the Farm Bureau building in the downtown area. A couple of the monitoring wells and the pollution previously had been on his property. He had declined to participate. He doesn't think that his engineers and contractors are concerned with the pollution. That's their right to do so. He has given us the authority to go onto his property if we want to continue to conduct the monitoring wells, which may or may not be necessary. If the pollution, if we can just change the monitoring well so that it's on our property only and still gain the same insight data, we'll probably end up doing that. But at this point, the $85,000 or so is our cost to discuss. We'll require a budget amendment. Rob's already drafted that for City Council should you guys move it forward. But this is the next step in remediating the problem. So for anybody that wasn't aware, variety of organic compounds, metals, and some other pollution from historical agricultural activities in the downtown area from, almost a century ago, or maybe even more than a century ago at this point, that we've known about for about 25 or 30 years, which can either be remediated through like excavation or soil treatments, or depending on what you do with the property, you can actually just pave over it or put concrete over it, and so then the soil is encapsulated and doesn't cause any health impacts to anybody. So about $100,000 for the next phase of the system, of the process, and it will take a few months, and at the end of it, we'll have an approved IEPA plan that we can then go forward with as we do construction down there or choose to remediate the soils accordingly.
I'll go first. Back probably 2008 or so, Dick Caffey, Kendall County or Kendall Safety Group, did he do some stuff down there? I thought he did.
He may have. I remember I had a conversation with him a few years ago when you had some questions about it.
Yeah, he explained to me that's how you could get IEPA to help you out and some of the costs.
Well, the IEPA process is, guiding us through remediation there. There aren't any funds available currently for brownfield remediation that I'm aware of.
Okay. And this would be necessary for us to develop any account. Or would we actually in court?
Not legally necessary, but it's good practice to do so. Yep.
Matt?
Only question I have is, in none of the brownfield area is where we got the hydraulic grant, right? That's completely and separate across the tracks?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So it touches this site, you know, south of the roadway, because it's got, you know, there's basically security fencing for the railroad. There's some bollards that are included, some pedestrian improvements, but yeah, it's all, the pollution is in control of the site.
Okay.
So, good to go forward with it?
Yeah.
Good to go forward with it, Matt?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Take it forward. Okay. Item 6, EDC 2025-59. This is Project Steel. It's a Polygis data center. Polygis. Annexation, rezoning, preliminary PUD plan, and a PUD. This is the first time that we've actually had it here, right?
Correct.
So,
yep.
Okay. Christy and Bart?
So the petitioner has a quick presentation, and then I'll do my follow-up afterwards.
Do you want us to stand up at the...
Whatever makes you comfortable. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Whatever makes you...
I think Bar's there. Yeah.
Got it. I'll get to share my screen here real quick.
So I'm Casey Witt. I work for Prologis. I handle all of our data center investments in the central United States. I'm joined by Katie and Claire also on our team. And just give a little background on Prologis. So global company, local presence. We own about 1.3 billion square feet of buildings across the globe. About 30 of those are data centers. We've been building data centers for about 25 years now. And we have about 2 billion under construction today. We own about 80 million square feet in the greater Chicago area. See the next one. All around Chicago, and we have a team and office that's located up by the O'Hare Airport. We've been in Chicago for the better part of 30 years now, and are locally connected to a lot of different nonprofits and are active in all the communities that we have assets that we own in. Good, next one. Here's a picture of our team actually this year at our service day where they were doing some work at the food bank. And Katie will go into some details on the project and we'll have some questions.
All right, Katie Frazier, Director of Development Services. I've been working closely with JC on this project, as well as Bart and Christy and staff, to make sure that this is a project that the city wants to see. So Project Steel, just to kind of get your bearings, is a 540-acre site. On the north, you have Galena Road. West, Eldemain. To the south is Corneille's. And then on the eastern flank, we have Beecher Road. The site is bisected by the ComEd right-of-way. And then we have the Plano substation to the south of our site. This is the overall site plan. So we're proposing 18 two-story data center buildings, totaling about 6.8 million square feet of space to be built out in different phases over the next 15 to 20 years. As mentioned, the site will be annexed into the city, or is looking to be annexed into the city of Yorkville with M2 zoning with a PUD plan as well. So phasing is still a little bit in flux, but we're having discussions with ComEd as well as the city as to what the best phasing is, but currently we're thinking that phase one would be the eastern portion, phase two would, you know, we'd then go counterclockwise would be the northwest section, and then finally phase three would be the southwest section. Key site elements, so we've been working closely with the city on different elements that the city, as well as, you know, from public feedback, they'd like to see. So setbacks from residential structures, We will be at a minimum 500 feet from all residential structures. In many cases, it's much more than that. We have a 100-foot landscape buffer along all major frontages, as well as various other different areas of the site. We'll also have a landscape berm for sound attenuation and also for just view shed. And then we'll have a 10-foot multi-use trail along all the major frontages. Go to the next slide. Some of the community benefits, so there'll be construction jobs for the next 15 to 20 years, 500 plus permanent jobs, increased tax revenue via property taxes and utility taxes that'll go to the schools, and then just various privately funded infrastructure upgrades for power, fiber, water, sewer, and roadways. These are just a couple renderings of what a campus would look like. Generally, just very subdued colors, looking to kind of blend in and not be, you know, overly eye-catching or, you know, intrusive. And just the next slide. This is just kind of what the key kind of entryway would look like, trying to look, you know, generally architecturally interesting, glazing, different, you know, elements to not be too, you know, ugly. And then that's it. Looking forward to questions.
So I'll give you the staff's overview. The petitioner did a good job talking about the site plan. I can tell you a little history about the parcels that are proposed to be annexed into Yorkville. At one point, in early 2000, around 2006, this area was considered for a development called Westbury North, Middle, and West Villages. That plan encompassed a little bit more than this proposed area. So this proposed area is about 540 acres. That area encompassed about 740 acres, and it consisted of single-family townhomes and multifamily land uses with a total of about 2,600 dwelling units. There's an image in the packet that shows kind of the layout and the configuration of the Westbury development. Again, it never was annexed. And it was never zoned. So this was a development that never came to fruition in Yorkville. So the petitioner, again, is seeking an M2 General Manufacturing District zoning. So upon annexation, they'll have an R1 zoning, and then they are seeking the rezoning for the M2. The PUD component of this, as PUDs are kind of a leeway for developers to ask for a bundle of zoning flexibility and variances, but they have to show and demonstrate some compatibility with the surrounding land use area and also meet at least one of our modification standards. This development meets two, one of those being funding or construction of public roadways and the other being regional utility improvements. The proposed preliminary PUD plan, so with the PUD comes a lot of conditions that the city is looking for from the developer. There's the plan associated with it. The developer has provided an updated plan, a recently updated plan, but generally the vehicular entryway access is primarily off Eldemain Road and then Cornelius Road, and it's accompanied by various emergency and secondary access points on Galena, East Beecher, Eldemain, and Cornelius Road. These points of access will, the primary points of access will be guarded. Stations requiring extensive security verification before entry. There's internal circulation that's provided throughout the campus with connecting roadways across the existing ComEd easement. Landscaping buffers, as they mentioned, will be integrated for screened and enhanced plantings, and each of the areas will be provided. There's a landscape plan in your packet as well. The phasing of the development, as the petitioner mentioned, will happen in three different stages. The first would be buildings 1 through 6, which generally are located on that northwest portion of the site. I'm sorry, is that northwest? The south, sorry. Southeast portion of the site. Phase 2 would then be in that northwest portion of the site, and then phase 3 would be in the bottom quadrant of the area. So in your plan, in your packet, there's a plan of the actual layout in regards to the school district boundaries. And what's important with this map is that the development spans two school district boundaries, so Yorkville 115 as well as Plano 88. The The petitioner has indicated there, as they mentioned, a willingness to advance the project from the northwest to the southeast to ensure that the initial improvements occur within the Yorkville School District. However, the feasibility and the sequencing will depend heavily on ongoing coordination with ComEd regarding power design and delivery. So we'll have that finalized as we move to the building permitting stage. The development does require the vacation of a road, the West Beecher Road. The layout of the data center campus does not anticipate utilizing that road for a public roadway. So the vacation will have to happen after annexation, because right now, as it is an unincorporated land, it's under the jurisdiction of Bristol Township. So upon annexation, they will seek to vacate that area through the city and with the city through our processes. There's a map in your packet that shows that this particular portion of the roadway, it's about 5,000 linear feet. It's a two-lane rural roadway. The project will then leave three parcels without public access, and those three parcels are owned by the Foltz, Ostreco, and the Auer family, and all three property owners are parties to this development application. And from the what the petitioner stated, their homes will be demolished during construction. If that is, that's correct. Okay, just wanted to make sure that that was correct. The request for the PUD deviations, as I mentioned, which are a collection of variances, are 13, and they are the exact identical requests that were asked by Cardinal. So I won't go through each of those unless you have a specific question. But I will highlight the parking requirements for this development. Is about 2,000 spaces. The petitioner is actually proposing to provide about 1,400 spaces. The pedestrian circulation that would be required for a public roadway, the petitioner is willing to provide easements and construct a 10-foot multi-use walking trail on the outer perimeter of the data center development. So that'll be along East Beecher, from Cornelius Road to Galena Road, along Eldermain Road to Galena Road, and along Cornelius Road to East Beecher Road. Landscaping, as we mentioned, the petitioner is going to provide that very dense transition type D zoning landscape buffer that requires a mix of shade, ornamental, and evergreen trees, as well as bushes. They are, as they mentioned, providing an 8-foot tall berm along the areas of the data center perimeter that abuts land uses, such as transportation land uses will be a road or some residential land uses. And the width of the berm will vary between 30 feet and 70 feet wide. Finally, with regards to, we talked about aesthetics, with regards to street design, the developer will be required to do minimum improvements to abutting roads. When I say minimum, actually a very significant improvements, but our code requires at a minimum that there will be a reconstruction of East Beecher Road from Cornelius Road to Galena Road, and intersection improvements at East Beecher Road and Galena Road. Cornelius Road reconstruction across the frontage of the subject property. And note that this section across the frontage of Bright Farms will need to also be reconstructed. Intersection improvements to East Beecher Road and Cornelius Road, which may include rerouting Beecher Road south or a potential roundabout. So staff has been exploring that option with the developer as well. We will have a map, though, for you later. And all improvements will need to be verified upon the submittal of a final traffic impact study, which the developer is working on. This particular parcel has a couple of unique recaptures associated with it. There's the Eldermain Road recapture. If you recall, the city entered into an agreement with the county when the county took over jurisdiction of Eldermain Road and made improvements. Our portion of the agreement stated that anytime a parcel is annexed that's adjacent to Eldermain Road will be required to participate in a recapture payment. This development Has about 1,800 linear feet along El Domain Road, so their recapture payment will be about $295,000, and that will be collected at time of final plat. Also, this project is subject to the Bright Farms Cornelius Road Interceptor Recapture Agreement. This agreement was approved by the City Council in 2022. The Bright Farms greenhouse developer was required to extend sanitary sewer service to the area at about $3.2 million in cost to them. Bright Farms was responsible for funding or front funding a majority of that cost, and they are allotted about $1.9 million in recapture from benefited properties. So upon final determination of water usage estimated by our city engineer on final numbers from the developer, we will determine what applicable recapture fee is required for Project Steel. And then finally, all of the other operational conditions that we have for the other data center development regarding noise, testing, and emergency operation plans are included to be a condition of this development as well. We do not have a noise study from the petitioner at this point. We do have our consultant available if you have any questions. They did review the land plan of the development, so they can have some input. But at this point, we do not have a final recommendation or review comments on a sound study. The comprehensive plan does see this area as estate conservation residential. Again, that was a holding pattern during that 10-year horizon of our plan, which is about to come to an end in 2026. We anticipate that if approval, we would, as staff, go forward with an amendment to the comprehensive plan. And then finally, development agreements will be consistent with the other project for data centers. So those are forthcoming, still in the works. That will include an agreement as a PUD agreement, as well as a development agreement and utility infrastructure agreement. The petitioner has met with the public, adjacent landowners. I think they held their meeting on July 31st. They can provide any input from, you know, that they received at that meeting, and the public is available as well. This will go next week for a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And if you have any questions from staff, I'm available to answer those for you as well.
Just wanted to highlight the East Beecher Road discussion, you know, in the context of the entire region. So, you know, you have East Beecher here and West Beecher here, and as Christy mentioned, we'll give you a better map. That way it's a little bit easier to figure out.
It was the one on 87.
Page 87?
Yeah, it shows some red and impact. Yeah.
So
it's a little bit.
It should be right after my memo.
Beecher Road, is West Beecher completely going away, or is it? Are they going to use it? It looks like they're going to use it from what I'm looking at. But they would be for the public, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
That's how I understood the changes that might be getting made. It's down to the bottom.
Thank you. So with Cardinal, we've already, you know, tentatively agreed that East Beecher will not go through their property. They requested that, and so that's a terminus. Whereas previously we've discussed that that would be a, you know, a major north-south thoroughfare through town. So we've given up on that tentatively. So East Beecher is here, West Beecher is here, and then regular Beecher goes north-south here between the two goalposts. So they are requesting us to vacate all of West Beecher, this, all of the regular Beecher, and then basically turn this into a jog here. So Beecher would end at Cornelius, potentially with a roundabout, go east, and then the new Beecher Road would be constructed on this side. So it would be extended that way, but they're asking for all this to be given up. So we don't have any major objection to that. Our initial comment was, you know, a jog in Beecher from here to here is probably not acceptable, but that requires us then to carve up property to the south, of this, which has also petitioned us for a data center usage, or the north here, which then would take out at least a building. So that's the economic reality of, you know, if we decide one developer over the other, it likely results in the loss of at least a building more so. So, you know, that's something we'll have to take a look at and consider, but I figured it would be a main topic of discussion here.
Yeah, so has Project Steel communicated with the other one, or have we have not had
with Meyer?
Yeah.
They have not, no. Not as far as I know. So it's not necessarily a question of please work this out amongst yourselves. It is, what is the city as a regulatory body going to require as part of the data center development? So, you know, for now, you know, their proposal to have a job here could probably be satisfied with roundabouts, according to the traffic engineers. So, and especially since this is not going to be a main north-south thoroughfare, assuming we've given this up, it's less of a big deal to have a job here than, you know, than not.
What kind of data is going to be for most of it anyway?
Correct.
So I find, you know, it did say something about West Beecher having to go up at the top.
So that is a connection between
yeah.
Project Cardinal to the north. We were wanting them to line up their entrance points. So those entrance points there,
yeah.
those entrance points will be emergency access, but we would still like to have them lined up.
Does it just come in partway, or is it, does it get, the rest of that go away, or is it just an entry point at top, or how?
Would you guys like to address that,
yeah.
Katie?
So, yeah, I believe there it's one of their main entrances here. So these two driveways will align, and then we'll work with Cardinal as to if they end up putting anything on this parcel for some sort of access agreement to this remaining parcel. But, you know, we'll have our own internal roads that may or may not follow a similar alignment to West Beecher, but all of this would be removed and be private.
So I've got to stop.
Yeah, it would be just a little access driveway.
Just curb cut, is what you're saying.
For Cardinal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it would be a private drive, but.
Right.
Yeah, it would be a curb cut.
Okay.
The next step on this is it goes to PZC next week, and then
correct.
It'll be in front of you as City Council, well, really at every meeting until we have all the documents finalized and it's ready for consideration.
I guess before we go forward, if anyone else is, would like to speak on this, this would be your first time you could speak toward it.
Citizen comments, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if there's anybody here that wants to speak, ask questions.
I would.
Okay.
My name is Tammy Schlanning. We own 790 Elmham Road, which is the farm that's actually cut out in that little section right there. In the new proposal with the layout of the plans, there's several things that we're concerned about and not satisfied with. I have a whole list of questions that I can email you guys. Some of our main concerns are the main entrance to that facility is directly next to our driveway, which includes the main entrance and their monumental signage. It corresponds, yeah, it goes right next to, you can pull it up.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. So we just have concerns with constant traffic in and out of that main drive. Also, too, with that pedestrian walkway, it literally ends right at our driveway. So questioning with that is where do people park? Where do they get on that if they choose to walk it, oddly, to Galena Road? Our concern is we have a small grass area. Will they be parking in that? Will they be parking in our driveway? The signage is considered monumental, so I'm not sure if that's like a full-lit sign right there. Also, too, I notice on Galena and Eldemain, they have berms that are set up, but once you go around our property, it has a smaller setback, and it just has ornamental trees. We would like a larger buffer in there for us for privacy, because we are encompassed all the way around all of that, so that will hit us on all three sides, basically. for our farm. Other things that we're concerned with is obviously through construction. What does that look like for us? Is that going to be a main entrance for construction traffic? Is that going to create lots of power outages for us? Is that going to, especially with ComEd coming in and off, doing a lot of electrical work, does that create, you know, interference for our daily lives with that? Our other concern too is we operate off of a well. You know, what type of assurance do we have that our well is going to maintain the water flow that we have now, no high sediment, and no contamination is what we're concerned with. Also, too, if power is going out all the time while ComEd's coming in, you know, the well works off electricity, so same way with that. We just want to make sure that, you know, we're insured with maybe some site changes on that to where it just gives us a little bit more privacy. Along with, we have questions about lighting, you know, is it going to look like it's daylight 24/7 coming off the buildings? We have... Yeah, I mean, and we have livestock back there in the back of our farm as well. You know, what does that look like with, you know, constant humming every day of all of that with them as well? So, I mean, we have quite a few concerns, more than what we've already just stated. So I'm more than willing to share that with you so you guys can kind of look at that. Some of that's just testing. You know, what has been tested, you know, if you come in and do dry construction, just different things that we just want to make sure that, you know, overall it's not affecting us every day.
Sure. I think I'll start here and then probably Katie might have to respond to a couple and then even Christy. And you absolutely, if there's anything you think of afterwards or if the verbal back and forth, you know, doesn't work out, email is fine, and then we will definitely put everything in writing that we got it, you know, for future use.
We did that with the previous development, too, and that gives us a good record.
Yep, and there is an entire 45-minute data center presentation that I've given in previous meetings and didn't give today, so I'll make sure you get a copy of that, too, because that's got some answers in there, too. So just first with trails off the top of my head, you know, so yes, if there's a trail proposed there and it ends, we have that all over the city. Raging Waves has it on both sides. You know, those are just trail deadheads, basically. As long as we don't, you know, publicize it as like a trail starting point or anything, we typically don't do any accommodations at there. So that would just end, you know, at some point. I'm sure that the engineers and designers probably could work through something that makes it, you know, not end, you know, 5 feet from your driveway and then have people think that, you know, you have, you know, a trail starting point there. And then obviously you might just have to sign it or, you know, put up some improvements to make it clear that that it's not there. And certainly we can work through that on their side of the fence too as we're reviewing this development. On private wells, the city is not historically required private well studies for development unless they are installing their own private well as part of the development. So we did Bright Farms. Mm-hmm. I don't recall if your well was studied as part of that or not.
No, but we just got a guarantee that if something were to happen to it or it were to dry up, that it would fall back on them. But
from
I feel
Bright
like,
Farms.
Yes, but I feel like this would supersede that since it's pretty much within 500 feet of our well.
Okay, so their guarantee was probably caused by our study. So I don't know off the top of my head that we checked your property, but for the most part, every well guarantee that I'm aware of was a result of our action because they were putting in a private well. So we have not, for subdivisions, for Costco's, for large industrial developments, we've had them in the past, required studies of private wells, because usually as farm field, you know, it's black dirt for a while, and so it usually doesn't cause issues. So we have not recommended it to the city council in the past. So that is something that occurs, you know, elsewhere throughout the county. You know, sometimes people say that there are issues. I don't know that I've heard of any well issues, you know, in the past few years. It's usually stormwater type of issues, and none on farm fields that I'm aware of. Chrissy, was there anything else that you could think of off the top of your head?
You talked about landscape berming. Mm-hmm. The petitioner can address some of that. Again, as you mentioned, the berming is occurring along Eldeming, but it kind of stops where it goes around, jogs around your property.
Yeah, so it's not even privacy fencing. It's just showing regular slatted
security mm-hmm. fencing, correct. So I don't believe there's berming on that side. I think the intent was because there's going to be a large area of open space, but I can see if the developer can address at least along your, which would be your eastern boundary, that rear of your property, along there where they have some ornamental trees, maybe adding a little bit more denser vegetation for privacy.
On that note, why couldn't the entrance be a little more north, like where that circle is?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I totally agree with you. I think the entrance started in that location, and if mm-hmm. you looked at some of the previous plans, and I believe this was in coordination with the county as far as where they wanted to see it, I think we'll revisit that with them, given I totally have your same reaction.
Yeah, I mean, then I thought maybe that round thing is something different.
That's just a truck turnaround for rejection if anyone comes in and they need to go
more
back
sense
out. But
put it up that way. I don't know why they would want to.
It saves us money. We're all for that. To be able to pave as long as the drive, so there is an issue with us.
Yeah, we'll work with the city engineer as well as the county to address that and come back to you.
And I did get some initial feedback from the county. Again, that's a county road. They did express some concern about the access off Eldemaine, about it being too tight, too close to the other petitioner's parcel. So they're going to want to readdress that again.
So they're probably going to widen that entrance too.
I do not know what what they're going to do, but they said the geometry, they needed to look at that a little bit more.
What traffic count they're using?
I do not know.
If they're just doing like a manufacturing traffic count, it's probably.
So I guess they're waiting for your traffic study to be able to determine that.
Mm-hmm. So also wanted to know, why do you have, looks like two roadways like almost right next to each other?
So that is currently with ComEd, they require separate and access outside of the security fence. So our gates would kind of be up here, so this would circumvent the security and then have.
So there's a fence in between those two.
Correct, yes. But we'll work with ComEd on the best arrangement for that and try and make it a little bit more efficient. But that was the reason behind that extra drive at the moment.
And does that mean that ComEd cannot, will they have access to your site?
No.
Well, they need to have access to the substation because they have their meters on the substations. They need to have
access. So, but they have to supply their own access point and can't come in through the development.
No, we have to supply them an unrestricted access way to the substation.
So if you share a driveway, it just has to be outside of this.
Yeah, it can be secured. And there's some discussion of whether they can do that in their existing right of way. We're having conversations with them, but they haven't committed to any of that because that would be on the east side of that property. So.
Okay.
Hey, Bart, this is Matt Gilbert. I'd like to speak on the road routing as well.
Sure.
So I represent Green Door Capital. We control both the Green Door Hageman and the Green Door Meyer site, which we now own. Obviously, that site, that roadway feature routing through the Green Door Meyer is, hopefully is completely ridiculous, right? We just paid for that, and it's a very valuable site. We paid a premium for it. we obviously don't want the routing to go through that site. As far as the West Beecher route, that access out to West Beecher for our Green Door Hageman site obviously would diminish that property with limiting access only to one side of the site. I'd also like to know, we haven't heard anything from the petitioner on any of these roads. Just want that on the record as well. But we're against both the West Beecher vacating and the that southern swag to the south, obviously. And I know you said you're working on the roundabout option, so we'd be interested to see more on that as well.
you. Anyone else with some concerns tonight? Or? I think probably at this point, it's good that you can digest this. Like I said, send things to staff. It gives you a good record to have that done, and then they are pretty good at answering questions you might have before, you know, you just go off and, I mean, they're really good about, and they work with that, I promise you that. Joe, did you have anything more?
No, I'm good.
Matt, anything to add to that, or, I know it's kind of our first shot at seeing it, so.
Yeah, nothing. Just, I mean, I have no questions about the job relative to Beecham. You guys have addressed that, and Matt spoke to it as well, so. But again, would like to see, you know, the way that looks out and what part, you know, mentioning the roundabout, what that country is about to be and what that looks like. I don't know if anything's potentially in the works, or if we're just, you're talking very generally at this point, but definitely interested in that. So
it sounds like there needs to be some more communication before this can go forward, right?
It's scheduled for the PCC for a public hearing next week.
Next week.
So we intend to move forward with the public hearing. Mm-hmm.
So can you go ahead with that part of it and still work these other details out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Internally, we have some designs for roundabouts that we've shared with the petitioner. So it's just getting them to look at it, work that into their plan, and then have more discussions.
What day is the public hearing?
August 13th at 7 p.m., mm-hmm. So next Wednesday.
In the room adjacent to here.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I know what it was. So, can you give me, how did the public hearing, or with the public go? Because I didn't get to see any of that, or...
Yeah, I think it went good. I mean, it was a lot of the same presentation here to here. Tammy was on the call, and she could give some feedback, but I think it was their first glance at seeing the project and understanding what our plans are there. I think it was... I hope it was informative, and I think we took back a lot of notes and questions that were vocalized in the call, and we have some more homework to do for some of those residents, and...
So you haven't, you're just kind of in the digesting that part too.
Yeah.
You haven't done anything.
Yeah, I mean, that call was just.
It's last Thursday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing that you, there might be some other changes.
Yeah.
What was total attendance?
There were 17 people, and four of them were representatives with them.
Thank you. And the total length of the meeting was?
An hour.
Okay. And was there anything addressed that we haven't talked about in general tonight?
Yeah, I would say there was obviously nobody on there for it. Most of the main concerns on it were light, dust, water, and energy pollution.
Sure.
The lights, we addressed that before, right?
Yeah, I mean, lights and dust and construction dust are an issue with every, subdivision, any development that gets built. We have, I think, you know, pretty modern, regulations on dust control and light pollution. With lights, you have to basically, keep light from spilling over the property line in general, and it's much more nuanced than that. But it requires a photometric plan at time of submittal,
right,
that we have to then have reviewed by engineers and the code official before it's signed off on. So, and that'll be part of the presentation that I can send you. There's a couple slides on that. Happy to give any details if you guys need them. So,
yeah, I thought that in Cardinal, said the lights would be focused more like downward toward the,
sure,
it's not
general,
broadcasting it out. So,
yeah, it's called dark sky compliant lighting, which is what we designed our building.
And which the city has an ordinance that, recommends the dark sky component.
Because I know in the old days, even like an athletic field, mm-hmm, a baseball field, you would light up and light up the whole neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, those lights they do a real good job of concentrating right down to the field that you're on, and it doesn't really light up a lot of other stuff around it. So I know that we're able to do that. Okay, I guess we go forward. Right, Joe?
Yep.
Matt?
Yep.
Forward? Okay. So the PVC zone hearing, right? That's zone.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Any old business? None. Any additional business? Good, Matt?
I'm good.
Meeting adjourned 6:55.